you can see there's much that God is building, and we want to be intentional to make sure that we're building as wise master builders. Amen? Doing things the right way, not rushing, not, you know, trying to force anything, but to see Holy Spirit do it. But I really feel that there's hunger for the Word of God. And so even if you're in a place right now where you know people that would benefit from this kingdom immersion thing, invite them, guys. Please, this is all about equipping. And it's not about, well, you come and they have to be part of who we are. No, our gathering, our tribe, whatever. No, we want people just to come and be equipped. And that's great if it works out that way, but that's not what it's all about. So the truth is, none of what we're planning on doing is possible in our own strength. That's the thing about Christianity, true biblical faith, following Jesus. We can't do it. Like some people say, is it hard? My answer is not hard at all. It's impossible. It is. It's impossible to follow Jesus and do everything that he wants us to do, he's called us to do, if we're doing it in our own strength. It's not possible. So this is really critical. And so we want to step into that place where we recognize that it'll just wear us down on our own. We don't want to be too busy, certainly. But on the other hand, we don't want to be complacent and just lethargic. We've got to go deeper with God. Amen?
Yes.
We've got to go deeper with God. So if we lean into the Spirit, God will enlarge our capacity. He'll strengthen our hands, and he'll cause his kingdom to advance through us. So I want to share something today from a very famous passage of Scripture, two verses. It's 1 Chronicles 4:9 and 10. It's the prayer of Jabez or Jabez. His name in the original language, the Semitic language known as Hebrew, is Jabez. So it's kind of like you bet, right? Jabez. His name is Jabez in Hebrew. So he's an amazing guy. And we're going to read the passage here. Okay, so this is powerful. Because here's what's happening. We're reading the book of 1 Chronicles, starting off chapter 1. And it's just all about, all the way through chapter 9, it's all about the chronicles, the genealogy, the lineage of all these people that are part of Israel in that time. But then all of a sudden, when we get here to chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it's like God puts the brakes on and goes, okay, stop right there. You know, it's like this list that goes on and on. And then all of a sudden, he goes, stop right there. There's someone we need to talk about, someone we need to mention. His name is Jabez. And he's remembered not for being a military leader, a person of wealth or influence, but for one thing, the prayer that he prayed.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, when you study who he was, there's no other reference to him in the Bible. Nothing. If you study history, there's no reference to him in history. There's a few rabbis that speak about him, and a lot of the filter that they see things through was they thought, you know, he's this great rabbi. But there's just small comments and what's known as the Midrash. And he's not really anyone significant. He's most likely a farmer. But God speaks about him because of a simple prayer that he prayed. It was bold. It was audacious. And most importantly, it was answered. And I want to encourage us, behind this story, behind this prayer, is something that happened just about probably 6 weeks ago or less than that. I had a dream, and the Lord spoke to me, and he spoke to me about the prayer of Jabez. And I looked at this prayer again, and I just felt so clearly the Lord said, you need to really unpack this and go understand the power in this. There's something so significant in this prayer. And it's not just reciting it as, oh, pray a prayer. It has to come from here. It has to come from faith and conviction and boldness and an expectation that something's going to happen. And so I shared this with the pastor in Toronto, And I felt prophetically that God told me to tell them that the prayer of Jabez is really significant in the ministry of their church right now. And she responded and she said to me, "We are already praying this. God spoke to us a couple of weeks ago and said, this month, I want everyone to focus on praying this prayer." So it was a confirmation of something that God had already spoken. Now, can I tell you, I am really just the way I see things, the way I really don't like anything that's cliche. Okay? I don't like that. And this can be cliche. We can make this, you know, oh, yeah, the prayer of Jabez, let's buy the book. And that literally happened, right? It sold all these books. And years ago, the Lord showed me this, years ago, and I began to tap into it. But recently, it was like the Lord said, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to look at this again. So we're going to look at this, and we'll just start off by reading it, okay? 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Let's read it together. Jabez was more honorable. Let's start again. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it may not bring me pain." And listen to this. And God granted what he asked. And God granted what he asked. Okay, I'm just going to break down a few things, and then we're going to actually pray into this. But I want you to see the significance of this. Okay, his name is Jabez. I already mentioned Yabetz. Comes from a Hebrew root word for pain or sorrow. How would you like your mom calling you that? Talk about setting you up for identity crisis and failure, right? Why? Because she bore him in pain. So now he's marked by pain all of his life. You're a source of pain. You're going to cause pain. You're destined for pain. You're destined to experience pain. All of these terrible things. And his name means pain. It's a terrible thing. His identity was marked by this. So the Bible tells us, though, that he was more honorable than his brothers. So the word honorable, keved, means weighty, respected, and significant. He was more honorable than his brothers. This suggests integrity, godliness, and esteem in his community. There's something different about this man. He was different than every other person around him, particularly in his brothers. And like many other names listed, as I said, he's remembered not for what he did. We don't know what he did. We have no idea what are his accomplishments. What is he known for in history? But we know one thing, it's a prayer. Holy Spirit said, this is so important, God said, that you understand this, what this man prayed. Why? Because it was written to them, those who literally were alive when the Bible was recorded, when it was written, but it's written for us. So it means simply this, that it has an application for us today. What he prayed was this: "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed." The word bless is barak. It means divine favor, abundance, or empowerment. And notice this, he adds the intensifier indeed, which is the Hebrew word rabbah, which means greatly. "Oh, that you would bless me greatly." Now, some of us, we look at that and we go, "Oh, was that a bit selfish?" But that's not selfish at all. Because you have to understand something. Culture at that time, in the Hebrew culture, was very much linked to an understanding that blessing was always tied to covenant and mission. So Genesis 12, verse 2, Abraham was blessed to be a what?
Blessing.
So covenant, it's always tied to this. So it's not about us. It's not selfish. God bless me so I have more stuff in life. No, it's not about that. It's about bless me because I know you have a purpose for my life. And I know you have a reason for me being here. There's a contribution. You want me to leave a mark on the earth. You've created and destined me for a purpose. And God, I am not happy living a life of mediocrity. You have a purpose. You could be successful and still feel insignificant. God has a purpose. So bless me indeed. Bless me greatly. Have you ever prayed that? It works, guys. God, open up doors. Bless me greatly. Give me influence. Give me favor. Specifically, enlarge my border. Of course, border means boundary, territory, or allotted inheritance. In Israel's tribal context, borders defined inheritance and influence. Inheritance and influence. So what is it? God, bless me greatly, enlarge my border. I know you have more that you want to give me. Yeah. Like he's saying that, there's an inheritance. God has an inheritance for you. He has something that he wants to bestow upon you. Yeah. We're called to greatness, guys. Yeah. We're called to greatness, but few of us believe it. Few of us believe it. Few of us are bold enough, audacious enough, that are willing to actually pray, God, I'm not going to settle for this. I know there's more. I know you have a purpose. I know you want to use me, and you want me to have an impact and influence on the earth. So God, I pray, bless me indeed, but not only bless me indeed, but enlarge my border. Israel's borders were linked to God's promises in Deuteronomy 19:8. To pray for large borders was to ask for fuller participation in God's purposes on the earth. Wow, you were created for purpose. So we pray not for selfish empire building. It's not about that. But we're looking for expanded influence. God wants to use us in expanded influence. And then here's the qualifier. He says this, that your hand might be with me. In the Hebrew, it's Yad Yahweh. Okay? That your hand might be with me. That your hand might be with me. In other words, God, I'm not just asking you for your promises, for your provision. I'm asking you for your presence. Because without your presence, it's like Moses, right? When God said, I'm not going to send the children of Israel into the promised land. Like, I'll take them in, but I won't go with them. I'll send an angel. And in other words, if we're going to get the promise fulfilled, God would take them in. But God says, I'm not going to go because, you know what, they've just been too difficult. I'll send an angel and he can deal with the job. Have you ever done that? Like, you don't want to work with a certain person, so you delegate it to someone else. So that's kind of the way God was. Like, yeah, I'll just give it to an angel. He can sort it out. And that whole idea. So the idea is this, that your hand might be with me. In Exodus 13:3, God's hand delivered Israel. In Nehemiah 2:8, his hand brought favor. His hand brought favor. So Jabez recognized that expansion without God's hand could even destroy him. Destroy him. Without your presence, without you being with me, God, I don't want just increase. I don't want just an increased capacity or influence. No, there's so much more that you have for me, but not without your hand upon my life. Not without your presence going with me. So, God, I'm not chasing opportunities. I want your presence. I want to live in your presence. I want to walk in your presence. I want to follow your spirit and step into what it is. See, more ministry, more business, more success, or more territory means little if God's hand isn't with us. It means little. Lastly, he says this, keep me from harm so that I might not that it might not bring me pain. Keep me from harm. Literally, it means evil, disaster, or harm. So he's asking God, Jabez, to shield him from calamity and moral evil. Now, interestingly, he frames it not only as protection for himself, but also as prevention of him causing pain, tying back to his name. This is powerful, guys. This is powerful. This shows that God delights in bold, faith-filled, covenant-rooted prayers. But these prayers, when aligned with God's purposes, are not in vain. He answers. He still delights in giving us what we ask for in faith, but it cannot be rooted on just us. In other words, it has to be about sanctification. It has to be about us becoming the people that God wants us to be. God, protect me from harm. Keep me from evil. No, there's so much more. He's saying this. He's saying, I have a purpose for your life. Don't stuff it up. Don't stuff it up. You may cause pain for other people. Have you seen that? People that you respected, you looked to, you trusted, and they stuff it up. They did something. Causes a lot of pain, especially from leaders. Jabez prayed, God, don't let me stuff it up. Don't let me make a mess of this thing. Help me to steward this in a way that not only don't experience pain and evil and disappointment, but God, that I don't cause it in the lives of other people as well. So this message is for us. You believe that? It's for us. See? But let's notice this, the last part. And God granted what he asked. Whoa! So we're like, okay, what did that look like? What happened next? It's a cliffhanger. And here's Jabez, and we're like, okay, Jabez, God answered his prayer. So when's the sequel coming? Where we find out, like, what was the next part of his life like? Like, how did God answer his prayer? And what did it look like? We don't know. The Lord's like, nah, we'll just leave it there. Just rest in the confidence and the assurance that I answered his prayer. And that I want to answer your prayer as well. If you'll pray with faith, if you'll cry out to God with bold, audacious prayers, not for selfishness, but for his glory, for his purpose, for the sake of others. Is it ridiculous to ask God for influence, for resources? No, not if your heart's right. Not if your heart's right. Not if it's like some people say, I don't ask God for anything. Can I tell you that's stupid? Why is it? Because God's telling us you need to ask. You have not because you ask not, it says in the book of James. You have not because you ask not. So what are we able to ask for? Not enough. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, unto him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So we can ask for something. It can be bold. It can be grandiose. And God's saying, I'm able to do even more. So don't ever think that you're, shooting too high. It's not. It's not. We have to believe. We have to dream big things, guys. We have to trust that God wants to use us to bring transformation to the world. Not just to sit in here on a Sunday and do, worship him and get some great teaching, but what happens when we take it out into our life, into the marketplace, into wherever? That's what it's about. Kingdom impact, making a mark, seeing transformation in the marketplace, in the schools, wherever we go, but being intentional. You can get caught up in the mundane and the 9-to-5 stuff and miss the fact that you're there not just to make a living, you're there not just to receive a paycheck, but you're there because you're on kingdom assignment and God wants to use you. And it's not just that. Your purpose isn't your job. Your job is a vehicle. The platform, the metron is the word the Bible uses, is just a platform. That's it. But God wants to use us to lead our neighbors to Christ, to pray for big things to happen. Ask, watch what he does. Without disclosing some of the things that Lynn and I pray for, can I tell you that we pray for specific things and we ask God to do specific things? And in recent times, we're seeing it happen, and we're not even going to let you in on the secret. Because it might be you, the reason why you're here today. God send these type of people. God send, Lord, do this, do that. God, do it, Father. Yes. He's the one who sets in the body. That's what it says. Yes. Like if we're a body and each and every one of us is an individual part of the body, a hand, a foot, whatever you want to use as analogy, then the Bible says that he sets the right people there. He knows exactly what we need to get the job done. And we do it together, not just individually. So this message is for us today, to seek blessing. Not to hoard it, but to serve others. Desire expansion, not for ego, but for kingdom influence. I've seen expansion. I've seen people's capacity increase. And I've been around some very well-known people. Very well-known people. And I've seen them literally shipwreck their faith. Because it went to their head, went to their ego. Depend on God's hand instead of our own strength. Pursue healing, right? What's that mean? That I might not be a source of pain? I might not be in pain? If you're in pain, God wants to heal you. And pursue also holiness. So your life doesn't multiply pain. And God, the God who answered Jabez, will answer you. Spiritual fruit, influence beyond your natural ability. Provision for the kingdom. Divine protection. Lastly, reversal of identity. Like Jabez, God takes what once defined you, pain, lack, limitation, and flips the script so it points to his grace. Yes. He takes what was and he redefines you and he flips the script. Amen. It's a powerful thing. I knew a man who grew up under the shadow of a label. From childhood, people told him he'd never amount to much. His father walked out early. His mother struggled, and poverty seemed to cling to him like a curse. Every job he had fell through. Every dream collapsed. He carried shame like a second skin. One day, he read the prayer of Jabez, and he began to pray it. Began to pray it, believing, expecting, God, use me, change me, transform me, give me opportunities, open the right doors. Sometimes what we're doing is we're pursuing our own ways and we think, oh, this is what I need to do. Get back to prayer. Yes. Get back to prayer. Watch God move and open doors on your behalf. Yeah. God can connect you with the right people, the right open doors and opportunities. He can do all of that. See, a job that was closed, all of a sudden, God opens another door, and we realize that. Years ago, I received a prophetic word from someone who's like a spiritual father, and he said this to me. He said, God is closing the door on the closed doors. God is closing the door on the closed doors. What does that mean? It means this. We would step into something, Lynn and I. And can I just be honest? It was after we left Australia. What does that mean? We were here. We were in Perth. God was called us here, did amazing things. We were having a big influence and impact, not only in Australia, but in Asia and Southeast Asia. God used that. But guess what happened when we left and we went back to North America? Things started going strange. It was just like door after door closed. We step into this, think it was going to be amazing. Boom, the door closed. Didn't work out. And what ended up happening is this person said to me, God's closing the door on the closed doors. And after that, guess what took place? We received prophetic words about coming back to Australia. I was in Brazil, in the south of Brazil, preaching at a conference, very large conference. And when I finished preaching that night, one of the young leaders that was there didn't speak English, said through an interpreter, God has many sons in Australia. You have many sons and daughters. God has many sons and daughters in Australia. He didn't know who we were, didn't know that we lived in Australia. You talk about God being specific. Why are we supposed to be in Australia? I like Canada. That's where I'm from. I'm from Toronto. Toronto, we call it, right? I mean, we're 20 minutes from New York. And I like it. And I'm looking forward to going there. There's amazing food. I've already got it set up. I know Lynn's got the list, what I'm bringing back. I've got an extra piece of luggage to pack it all. Like, it's a great place to visit. But why? Because we're not called to be there.
That's right.
Yeah. So why are we supposed to be in Australia? Because God called us. Yeah. He said, I want you here. Yeah. And so we can step into something in complete implicit obedience to the Lord and still not experience the full impact of what it is He wants to happen because we're not bold enough. We received, when we moved here from Antarctica, Melbourne, guess what? We were down in Melbourne for about 2 years after we moved back. When we moved here, guess what? The prophetic words that we constantly received, we'd open the Bible, someone would speak to us, send us an email, a message. Joshua 1, be bold, be strong, wherever you put your feet. That's what God has given to you. Be bold. We're in California earlier this year. We received a prophetic word. The place you're at, you're supposed to be there. There's a reason for you to be there. You're going to bring something different to the Sunshine Coast. You're going to have a huge impact, but do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it with signs and wonders and miracles. Do it in the supernatural. Don't just do it. And think big. Think big. Expand your thinking, expand your beliefs, expand, believe for a harvest, believe for a revival, pray into it, believe for provision, believe for this region to be impacted, believe for beyond, believe for people that don't know God, even significant people in life that don't know God, to come into the kingdom. Yes. Believe for miracles. And so I want to close with this. For those of us who are faith, people of faith, and if you're here this morning and you're just like, I want God to use me and I want to see more. Well, guess what? The Lord's saying, thank you. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Will you step into what I've called you to? Will you believe again for miracles? I prayed it didn't happen, so pray again. Yeah. Start believing again. Yeah. Rekindle your faith. Build up your faith again. I've been so disappointed. Deal with that. Mm-hmm. Let God heal you, restore you. Let God change you. Guys, we have no excuse. We serve a God who heals us. Whatever we've been through, who restores hope. If we've been disappointed, He gives us hope again. We have no excuse. But if we're stuck in a particular experience and we can't move out of that, I want to challenge you today. God is not that type of God. Jesus can break things open for you and give you hope and destiny and purpose and revive your dreams once again. And even things you've never believed for or asked for, it's time. And as you do that, watch what He does. Yes. I don't want to leave this earth, right? Most people do not fulfill their purpose for being on the earth. not optimally, not fully. Most people go to a certain place, but they don't experience the absolute fulfillment of your purpose on earth. God wants to change that. Let's stand and together, please.